From KLW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I live in Oakland.
I'm from Cleveland Heights.
West Oakland, California.
I think my landlord marketed it to me as Temescal, but it's actually Golden Gate.
Coming up, we'll visit an Oakland school that's rethinking discipline.
Schools suspend kids for having their cell phones out.
They call it defiance. They suspend kids for, just junk.
So if not suspension, then what? We'll also hear how the San Francisco School District is changing its policies.
It's not because a child wakes up in the morning and say, you know what, I'm just going to be bad and I'm going to upset my teacher.
Plus a conversation with Eric Butler about why restorative justice is the best choice for his school.
We're doing something completely different. We're apologizing for those messed up lessons that we taught because we should have been teaching tolerance.
We're getting schooled today on Cross Currents. Restorative justice. You may have heard the term before, but let's break it down. The concept of justice is the basis of law. It's the fairness society seeks. And to restore something is to bring it back to what it once was, whether that's health or strength or a sense of well-being. So when you bring these words together, restorative justice, you've got a shift in how we deal with punishment and consequences. Everyone involved comes together, victim, perpetrator, community, in the same space to discuss actions that caused harm and what can be done to repair that harm. These kinds of practices are used in many indigenous cultures around the world. And in the Bay Area, they're now being used in schools.
Schools suspend kids for having their cell phones out, for talking back to the teacher. They call it defiance. They suspend kids for, just junk.
Betsy Steele is the principal of Ralph Bunch High School in Oakland, where many of the students have a history of discipline issues. For the last 3 years, Steele's been using restorative justice techniques to deal with problems rather than going with the old standbys of suspension and detention. But, she says, it's hard.
You know, we get to the point to where we start realizing that what you think of the students that you're working with is what is making you do those punitive actions.
KLW's Leela Day has the story of how one school is trying to change its approach to discipline.
Not long ago, there was a food fight at Ralph Bunch High School.
There's pictures of the cafeteria with the food all over the floor.
I was just looking down my plate.
Angel Hernandez is 18. He's a senior, and he's not admitting anything happened. He's slouched in a chair in a room whose walls are covered with positive messages. Respect. Listen. Trust. His mom, Maria Ramirez, sits at his side. Also in this circle of chairs is the cafeteria worker, Miss Mina, and she looks pretty ticked off.
Everybody start, throwing stuff. Mm-hmm. I say, excuse me, how old are you guys?
Eric Butler is the facilitator for this restorative justice circle, the one pushing for answers and accountability.
Out of everybody that was in the cafeteria, you're the first person that said there was no food. And there's pictures of the cafeteria with the food all over the floor.
Restorative justice circles only work if the person who caused the harm admits that they did so. The next step is a discussion about how to repair that harm. So this one is off to a bad start. Eric Butler says Angel's denial is familiar.
Whenever they get in trouble, their defense mechanism is to act as if they're in court, to act like, so I'm not going to say anything. An apology is an admission of guilt.
Angel may feel like he's in court, but the goal of this conversation isn't punishment. It's a deeper understanding of what's causing bad behavior.
A teacher came to me twice, telling me that supposedly Angel had problems, that he had been kicked out of his aunt's or uncle's house. And I go, okay, and what are you trying to tell me? Do you want me to baby him? And then she said, well, I don't think Angel's eating, now that he's living with his mom. And I did say, how is that my problem?
That's Miss Mina again. When she says this, Angel's mom's cheeks turn red. She turns to Butler.
He gets fed at home. I'm not going to eat and leave my child without eating. I know he's not your son, and I appreciate everything you guys do. And I know sometimes, he cannot be an angel.
Butler later says there's more going on here, and that some of the fault lies with Miss Mina.
She didn't have any tact. And the things that she was saying in front of this boy's mom, like, was further, like it wasn't to teach any lessons. It was to get revenge. I want to humiliate you in front of your mom. And what actually happened was mom felt that, so mom had to address her personally.
No matter the outcome, Angel won't be suspended. The school has a no suspension policy.
I was probably one of the suspension queens. You know, let's be real.
This is the principal of Ralph Bunch High School, Betsy Steele. She says she was suspension queen before she started incorporating restorative justice as a model in her schools.
I began to see, and the same process happens with teachers, what you're doing is not working. You keep kicking them out, and they keep coming back. It's the same thing with suspensions. You suspend them, they come back, and you have to deal with the same situation over and over again.
Steele says that the 200 students enrolled at Bunch are here because it's their last resort. They've been kicked out of other schools or are on the verge of dropping out. So when they enroll here, it's a little different. The school starts using restorative justice from the very first day. For starters, students have to come to an orientation with a clear plan for family support.
This is the first time that these parents and these students have ever had to sit in front of the principal, sit with the principal, and come to agreement in what each is going to bring to the pot.
Programs like the one at Bunch are getting more popular, but suspension rates are still high throughout the state. And there's a racial component to who's suspended. For example, in Alameda County, African-American students make up 6.5% of total enrollment, but 19% of suspensions. Latino students are also overrepresented. By comparison, white students are 26% of total enrollment, but just 20% of suspensions. To Principal Steele, these numbers are chilling, especially since the majority of her students are Black and Latino.
What we're doing isn't working, and beyond that, what we're doing is really, I would venture to say, illegal when you talk, when you think about the number of African Americans and Latino students that we're suspending in comparison to other, you know, students.
And lawmakers have taken notice. Last year, the Assembly passed four bills aimed at curbing suspensions. One was AB 1729, requiring administrators, in most cases, to suspend students only as a last resort. Now in Oakland alone, there are 27 schools that have some type of restorative program. At Bunch, the graduation rate is now over 90%, and over three-quarters of their students are on the honor roll.
But make no mistake, it's a hard job. I have to know exactly what's going on with that child, not only on the site, but also off the site.
Oh, she listening to what we're saying, man.
Back in the restorative justice classroom, Eric Butler tells Angel that he should have his lunch at one of the outside tables until the circle next week. Then he throws in a pep talk about staying on track with his grades.
Mom, if he came home with a 3.0, how proud would you be?
Oh, very proud.
If my mama right in front of me said, if you do this, I'll be proud. I would bust my ass trying to do that, to make my mama proud.
Angel's asked to hug his mom, and he does. Everyone in the circle smiles and starts to file out of the room. Afterwards, Angel says he realizes at a different school he'd be suspended, and says he appreciated the circle.
I don't know, I feel like she heard my side of the story. I heard her side of the story. So it's, you know, just gotta work on it.
But before he walks out the door, he reminds us.
No, there was no food for it.
Angel actually never ends up going to another circle. Eric Butler says they're just going to watch him and see how things go. That's what they do when these circles don't work. Just keep the door open for students to come back in anytime and talk. For Cross Currents, I'm Leela Day.
So what do you think about the concept of restorative justice? Do you have any ideas on what could change in how schools discipline kids? We want to hear from you. Call us at 415-264-7106 and just leave us a message. That number again to leave us a message is 415-264-7106. This is Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan, and we're talking about restorative justice, how some schools are shifting their approach to student discipline. We had more questions for Eric Butler, the coordinator of the restorative justice program at Ralph Bunche High School in Oakland, so we asked him to come by the studio.
We're shifting the culture and the way we think about things. Things that my grandparents and my mother passed on to me, that's some horrible stuff, like, if somebody hits you, hit them back without question. And that kind of violence is ingrained in us. And and we massage that violence as they get older. Don't come home without a loss. So not only can you not let somebody get away with hitting you, you can't even lose and you can't cry. So, and that's what we teach our boys. So when our boys grow up and they're not sensitive to the needs of young women, we get upset at them and we want to vilify them and punish them for it. So we're doing something completely different. We're apologizing for those messed up lessons that we taught, because we should have been teaching tolerance. We should have been teaching how to have conversations with each other when you're having those disagreements. Instead, we taught zero tolerance, and it's ingrained in our kids now. And they and when they say zero tolerance, they mean zero tolerance. That means I can actually kill you for disrespecting me, because that's what my parents taught me to do. That's what everybody that looks like you taught me to do. And we're trying to reteach that, and we're trying to reteach that under conditions where people are constantly trying to throw them away, and they can see it because they know what keeping it real is, way more than we do.
That's Eric Butler, who's restorative justice coordinator at Ralph Bunche High School in West Oakland. You're listening to Cross Currents from KLW News. I'm Holly Kernan. We've been hearing about how one Oakland school is dealing with discipline. Now let's head across the bay, where things are changing in San Francisco schools. Last month, a group of students from 100% College Prep Club in the Bayview District marched into a San Francisco school board meeting. They were protesting suspensions for willful defiance. That's a vague term that in practice can cover everything from talking back to a teacher to wearing a hat indoors. Disruption or defiance accounted for about a quarter of all suspensions in SFUSD last year, and willful defiance infractions are the cause of more than half of suspensions statewide. A state bill to limit these kinds of suspensions has made it through the legislature, but the governor hasn't signed it yet. Aware of all this, in 2009, San Francisco's school board decided to make a change. It dissolved what was then called Discipline Task Force in favor of a new Restorative Justice and School Climate Task Force. It also made an official district-wide shift to the use of restorative practices. That's a set of principles and techniques that grew out of restorative justice, but is also focused on preventing harm. Now students as young as kindergartners are learning the philosophy and techniques. KALW's Jen Chien visited one elementary school to find out why they're starting so early.
Happy Monday, Harvey Milk. Good morning. Say good morning.
Mornings at Harvey Milk Elementary School in San Francisco's Castro District start with everybody in the yard.
What a beautiful circle.
teacher Leanne Francis stands in the middle and introduces the theme for November.
Stand up for peace and safety. Does anyone have any thoughts on that? Any beautiful children want to show? Ooh, I see a hand.
My name is Bryce, and I'm in room 213. And I think that you should not fight or put hands on other people.
The official name of this school is Harvey Milk Civil Rights Academy. Wow. And as you might imagine, its curriculum puts an emphasis on social justice.
Emily, come on up.
My name is Emily, and my room is 107, Ms. Francis's class. And I think peace and safety means that hands are for hugging, not pushing or shoving.
In addition to the entire school circle in the morning, each class has its own daily community circle. Every classroom has a carpeted area where students and teachers sit on the floor to share their thoughts or feelings. In Marisa Martinez's third grade class, students pass a small stuffed panda around the circle to mark who has the floor. Today, they're talking about people or animals that have passed on.
When I was just a few years old, my cat, Clyde, because it almost nothing else died.
The kids listen quietly, giving silent thumbs up when they agree with someone's statement. Sometimes giggles break out, but they actually seem remarkably calm for third graders.
Someone I would like to celebrate is my mom.
Harvey Milk's principal, Tracy Peoples, is visiting the class today. And she also holds the panda as she speaks.
Because she taught me so many things, and I also miss having conversations with her. I used to talk to her every morning on my way to work, so I want to celebrate her today.
Principal Peoples first learned about restorative practices at her previous post, a high school in the district called International Studies Academy.
I was there for 2 years, and we saw changes. There was evidence to show that the referrals went down, the suspension rate went down.
When she came to Harvey Milk 2 years ago, she introduced some of the techniques she had learned. The shift to restorative practices is supposed to be district-wide, and it has been, but the way a particular school implements it can vary. Principal Peoples offered the district-sponsored training to her teachers on a voluntary basis, but there weren't a lot of volunteers at first.
One.
Out of how many?
Out of 11. So, of course, there were a few that were skeptical and didn't believe that it was working. They were stuck in the traditional mode of punishment, punishment, punishment.
Things like losing recess, sitting alone in the corner, or getting sent to the principal's office.
That's not what our students need. That's not even like human. Really and truly, it's not because a child wakes up in the morning and say, you know what, I'm just going to be bad today. I'm just going to act really bad and I'm going to upset my teacher. It's something underneath that.
Principal Peoples says it's not that kids don't have consequences for their actions.
Well, the difference is there's a logical consequence. So if a kid is throwing paper, right, we're not going to sit him on a bench. He's going to pick up paper. That's logical, right? And then he's going to hear conversations around why throwing papers on the floor or throwing papers around is something that's not appropriate and how it's impacting everyone else in that environment, in that classroom.
So here's an example. An incident in Kelly Clark's fifth grade class today leads to a moment of reflection on how one's actions affect others. The class gathers in a circle and Ms. Clark speaks.
I try to tell you all to be mindful of what you put out there at group level, because people, when we're nervous, we laugh because of nervousness, and you're not trying to hurt them, but that's how you experience it. Who knows exactly what I'm talking about from today?
Most of the kids raise their hands. Then Ms. Clark takes them through a quick breathing exercise.
Let's just take a deep breath and hold it till I count to five and then release. One, two, three.
Punishing is not an effective response to changing behaviors.
Carrie Berkowitz is the district's program administrator for restorative practices. She says she gets pushback from teachers who feel it's too soft of an approach to behavior issues, that kids need more discipline.
I feel like we almost need to reclaim that word, discipline, like to move it more towards learning about one's actions. And I think what we do is we associate the word discipline with punitive.
She points out that traditional kinds of discipline have not actually worked in terms of keeping all kids in class and learning. High rates of suspensions have long been a concern of the district, and they're disproportionate for African American, Latino, and Pacific Islander students.
The research very clearly shows how our implicit biases and stereotypes impact how we relate to one another and to our students.
So at Harvey Milk, teachers sometimes have what they call courageous conversations, where they try to lay bare their feelings. It could be a time that another adult offended them, or a time they had a conflict with a student of another race, class, or culture. Berkowitz says they're trying to create an atmosphere where everyone can feel safe.
In order for me to feel comfortable to own up to my own stereotypes and biases, I'm going to really need to trust who I'm in this room with.
How those trusting relationships get built looks different at different schools. There are formal practices like community circles or victim-offender dialogues. Sometimes it means a teacher sharing more about themselves than they might normally feel comfortable with. Fourth and fifth grade teacher Marjorie Pollock starts a discussion about emotions by sharing a story of her own.
My husband was being really grumpy. And it was hard because I started getting mad about his grumpiness. So I started to fight with him. Hey!
Then she says, it turns out her husband was grumpy because he wasn't feeling well.
Have you ever felt that? Mm-hmm. Up, middle, down? Have you ever been with somebody, maybe even an adult, who's in that place like my husband was? So I took a big deep breath.
Carrie Berkowitz, the district's program administrator, says she knows there are critics who think this kind of thing is too touchy-feely or is maybe overstepping the boundaries of what a school should be responsible for. But she says the district believes restorative practices is actually directly related to learning.
If students are not feeling safe in their classrooms, if they're not feeling like the teacher likes them or cares about them, if they're not feeling a sense of belonging and feeling like they have a voice and can be heard in their classroom, it's going to be so much more challenging for them to learn.
It feels good to let everybody know what I'm feeling like and all, so yeah. It just feels good.
Brown Burmeister is a second grader at Harvey Milk.
They listen. They're like treating me nice and when they like listen.
This is where it needs to happen.
Again, Principal Tracy Peoples.
Because they grow up knowing and having the principles and living the principles. And so therefore, once they're in high school, the other pressures that they are dealing with, that high school students are dealing with, they have a different approach. They have strategies already in dealing with it.
And the hope is, with restorative practices being used throughout the district, that the system is there for its students, from kindergarten all the way to graduation. At Harvey Milk Civil Rights Academy in San Francisco, I'm Jen Chien for Cross Currents.
Some of the audio in that story came from the San Francisco Bay Guardian, so thank you. And we want to hear your comments about discipline in schools. You can visit us at our Facebook page, we're KALW, and you can leave us comments, tell us your ideas. All of that is KALW on Facebook. For today's edition of Cross Currents from KALW News, the team includes Isabel Angel, Julie Kane, Audrey Dilling, Ashley Ann Krigbaum, Daniel Moore, Melanie Young, Jasmine Lopez, Linda Jew, Raisu Sussman, Charlotte Silver, Seth Samuel, and Stephen Short. Today's show was produced by Hana Baba, Leela Day, and Jen Chien, and engineered by Chris Hoff. Casey Miner is our senior editor. Our senior producer is Martina Castro. Ben Trefney is our executive editor. And thanks to you, we are listener-supported radio. When you think of music from Brazil, you may think of bossa nova, but you might not think of coro. Well, Grupo Falso Baiano, who you're hearing now, is working to change that. Some call coro the ragtime of Brazil with its mix of African and European sounds. You can hear Grupo Falso Baiano this Friday at the Sound Room in Oakland. Music begins at 8 p.m. All of that information, along with more local music and more local stories, is at KALW.org. Just click on Cross Currents. For Cross Currents, I'm Holly Kernan.